Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are.
Good morning.
You're going to be airing this one on Wednesday, the 12th of January. And we're in reconciliation and forgiveness. And, you know, we've processed certainly what it means to go to forgiveness and the importance of that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough that as we look at all these difficult scenarios, it's always predicated on that you have worked through to forgiveness 100% of the time, all the time. So in other words, There's not a situation or the severity of a situation that gives you a license not to go to forgiveness. No, there's two simple reasons for that. One, we are reflecting the nature and life of God that is resonant within us.
Right.
So number one, has Christ already forgiven them?
Yes.
Yeah. See, once and for all at the cross, he said, I forgave everybody, including the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't have a hierarchy of, well, you weren't forgiven because you past that line of awfulness, is that the most awful person has been forgiven already by Christ at the cross once and for all and done, finished. So you got to join me in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on what
and
basis?
Let's be honest, that, even just that, I know we all know that, but that's a hard concept for people to get in their hearts and minds, because we do have such the sense of justice that the idea that, okay, maybe I can be forgiven for this little thing, but that big thing over there, whether it is something that we have done or something that we have seen someone else do, or okay, now are you really saying that, you know, the terrorist who did this, Christ has already forgiven them? Are you saying that too? You know, and theologically, we know that's true. I think there, if we're honest with ourselves, there is a wrestle in the heart to even believe that. So believing it fully is part of the requisite for us to be able to actually reflect it and extend it fully.
That's right. Because, and there's a truth about that. And that is that, and I hear people say this, how could God forgive them for that? And see, his response is, it's not about what they've done. It's that everybody has fallen short of the glory of God, of the holiness of God, and everybody deserves my wrath.
Right.
Because holiness can't associate
with unholiness. He's not holding a scale of sin up.
No. And he said, so forgiveness isn't about what they've done or them. It's about Christ speaking what I did on my own nature, is to give them the opportunity to reconcile. See, without forgiveness, think about this, is kind of interesting. Let's say there wasn't a Christ going to the cross and he says you have to reconcile. Okay, what's the requirement?
We have to engage in that. We have to receive it.
What would we have to do to reconcile with God? We'd have to be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So he would say, okay, work at that. Try to be perfect. You got to be perfect. Keep working at that. Well, he says, the truth of that is because of your sin nature, you can't get there.
Right.
Now, I can talk to you all day long about what you need to do. Without forgiveness, our discussion would be futile because you can't get there, even though that's a requirement. And I can tell you all day long, well, you have to, you have to, you have to. He said, so forgiveness is what did to take on the penalty for what you deserve so that there's an opportunity for you to reconcile. And I did that on my own nature and performed that crucifixion and death and resurrection on my own nature of love and forgiveness, and gives you the opportunity. He said, so as you approach somebody that has harmed you, and there's severity levels of that, he says, move away from how can that person be forgiven to how can I receive God's forgiveness that he gave to everybody, regardless of what they did. Why? Opportunity for reconciliation. So I have to get to that same place. Is number one, Christ did it. And so that's why you say, give me what you've already done. Give that heart to my heart. And I just got to stay with it. And it's a gift.
Right.
And you get it. You receive it.
And that is part of that being an ambassador of it, right?
That's right.
It is, we are giving away, we are representing him. We're representing his heart right here on the earth.
That's right.
And giving that away.
What does he want? Well, reconciliation, ideally. Mm-hmm. If not, then I want to resolve it for you. And that's why he says the second reason for forgiveness is that your heart is now free of that aspect of unforgiveness, which they deserve. Mm-hmm. But it isn't about reconciliation. It's about you being free to move toward resolution for you.
Right.
And without forgiveness, see, you can't get the resolution because you'll be caught up in all of the things that you're trying to do to take vengeance or set it straight when you can't get there because they're not willing to get there. Mm-hmm. And so then it would become unresolved for you and you're caught up in this anger, frustration, obsession, worry, bothering. He said, I want you to have freedom. And so forgiveness is a critical piece of it. So he said, okay, go to forgiveness. Then he says, be an ambassador and try to go to reconciliation. We've talked about that. You're discovering that that person isn't willing to do that. Either they don't care, they slough you off. Nope, I'm not going to meet with you. I'm not going to talk to you.
Or they're just not in a healthy enough place to do it.
Yeah. Or even if I did, I blame you and I spin it. To rationalize, what's called rationalization and defensiveness, is I push everything off on somebody else, particularly you, and I say, it's not my fault, it's your fault, or somebody else's fault, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Okay, well, now you can't do much about it. Okay, so he said, what do you do in that scenario? Okay, let's go to, again, read Romans 12, 9 to 21, and he tells us what to do.
Sure. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah. So, you know, he's again said, you know, live in forgiveness. As far as this concerning you, live peaceably. And peaceably on my end is I'm willing and offering to go to discuss reconciliation. And so do you have a heart to do that? Well, if you have forgiveness, you always have a heart to do that.
Right.
Sure. I'd love to talk to that person and process it through with honor and respect. He said, as far as concerning you, maintain that position. You're always willing to talk truth if they have a heart to go. And when I say I've tried, but they've said, no, not going to do it, spin it, rationalize it. They're going to keep hurting me. They don't care. I can't even think about reconciliation. Why? Because it takes two parties.
Right.
And the other party ain't going there. And God says, see, and don't. And he said, this is something you got to really understand. Children. And I hear this all the time. I hear prayers. God forced them to reconcile. Mm-hmm. And they need to change and they need to wake up and they need to say they're sorry. And you force them. And God says, I don't violate the free will. And you can't step into that place, which is where vengeance comes in. You're trying to make them be sorry and change. They should. Ideally, they should. They've crossed the line of justice. They need to set it straight. Mm-hmm. But he said, they're not willing to. So don't you force it. And you just got to come to it. One of the ways of resolution is saying, you know what? They're not going to reconcile with me. Mm-hmm. And he says, now it takes a whole different turn. Do you understand that? Why? You've tried. They won't do it. Or I've even told you, don't bother because it's going to get worse. That's that with my mother. Like, nope, that ain't going to work. That'll actually make it worse. Okay. So in other words, they're not changing and they're not going to reconcile.
Right.
You got to come to a conclusion about that. Okay. All right. I understand it. Now what? Mm-hmm. He said, one, don't you design your own way of getting back at him. And just don't even go there. Just say, it's not going to reconcile. And the question isn't, what should I do to protect myself? But rather, Father, what do you have to say now to bring resolution to a situation where they're not going to go to reconciliation? Mm-hmm. And I'll walk with you into that. Okay. He said, now here's a couple truths. One is leave room for my wrath. Mm-hmm. And what he says is get out of the way because they are stepping into cursing. And he said, vengeance is mine,
right,
saith the Lord. Okay, now, if God says, I'm going to take vengeance, and he says, I will repay. In other words, I will set it straight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you now need to understand about what
that
God is
going
to do? I'm going to do it.
If he says he'll do it, he'll do it.
Yeah. In other words, see, justice will be served. So he said, I know that you think I overlook it, and it looks like they get away with it. And you would like to say, okay, great. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I hear this all the time. Well, then let me see the vengeance.
Right.
And I want to have it shown that you're taking vengeance, and I want it to be done right now. And God says, well, my perspective, my dimensions, my timeline, the way that I do stuff is way different than yours. Now, by the way, it will be done. They're cursed. Okay, now why are they cursed? Let's go back to the covenant. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. This is Genesis 12, 1 to 3. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who what?
Who curse you.
Okay. Now, how would somebody curse me? I'm in a dynamic of working toward reconciliation, and they won't go there.
Right.
How are they cursing me?
By rejecting walking into that with you.
Yeah. See, it's not even that I have to agree with you. It's that, no, I enter a genuine discussion of mm-hmm. tell me what happened. Tell me how it affected you. Tell me how I hurt you. Let me understand that. Let me say I'm sorry. They said, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I keep hurting you. It doesn't matter to me. And God says, that's cursing you. When we say cursing, it doesn't mean that they're purposely trying to bless you. It's that they've rejected the opportunity to process with you.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, they've stepped into cursing. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay them. They are stepping into cursing, and they will experience difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach with Henry Blackaby and he and his wife, Marilyn. And Henry, because he was one of the first people to kind of start this whole discussion about hearing God's voice.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, experiencing God's study. I remember that.
And experiencing God and walking with him. And it's not a intellectual thing. It's a walk with him mm-hmm. through the Holy Spirit. And he would speak that. He would teach that. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of opposition. And I'm talking about from pretty famous.
Prominent Christians.
Prominent Christians. And he even had people blog against, at the time he blogged against him and stuff. And he would be speaking, and then people who are prominent or people who are pastors or people who are, you know, in the audience would come up and say, Henry, that your teaching stuff isn't right. And his wife, and I was with him. And I always ask him about this, you know, how do you handle all that?
Right.
He said, well, my goal isn't to please anybody at all.
Right.
My goal is to be the faithful sheepdog and speak the truth. And however mm-hmm. people respond to that, if they want to, I'm happy to process that with them. And he would, you know, they'd come up, you're wrong. And he said, well, would you like to get in the word with that? Nope, you're wrong. And his wife would do this. And it was funny because I got to experience this. She'd walk up to that person and say, I feel real sorry for you. And he'd say, why? He said, because you've just stepped into God's cursing.
Mm.
Not because you disagree. That's okay.
Right.
But you're not willing.
Process.
You are not willing to see if maybe what Henry's trying to speak to you is true.
Mm.
And you've rejected it and you're coming against him. And I feel sorry for you because you're cursed. And then he would describe to me over the next year, two, three or four years, they saw some of it with, you know, disease, divorce, all kinds of problems that they had. Because they, and it wasn't just against Henry, it was that they weren't really willing to walk with God.
Right.
And they were stepping into cursing. And God said, I will repay, you know, says the Lord. So you can trust it. Now, sometimes we get to see a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we don't. And by the way, partly is because we don't know what's behind the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody can appear like everything's fine. but they're having trouble with, you know, marriage issue or deep conflict, or they're having financial issue, or they're having kids issue. And we never get to see it because they never present it, but they're miserable. Mm-hmm. And God said, yeah, because they're cursed, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't you take it. Trust me that I will. And in essence, I just want you to know that it's going to happen, but you don't even need to see it. Because why? I want you to be free. I want you to move on.
Right.
Okay. The other thing he says is, bless and don't curse. Okay, now this is confusing. Because wait a minute. You just said to get out of the way because you're going to take wrath. And am I supposed to pray that they get blessed when they're cursed? He said, no. Actually, they're cursed and you can't reverse that. Interesting enough. Okay, what does that mean to bless them and not curse them? Okay, now think about this. What reverses anybody's curse? And let's just start with, is a person who is not a believer, who hasn't processed the truth, are they cursed? They stand cursed already. It says so in John, by the way. They stand cursed already. The curse is what? You're going to spend eternity separate
from God, right?
Eternally separate from me. And you're start out cursed. Okay, what would have to happen for them to be blessed?
They'd have to reconcile to God.
They'd have to receive the truth and accept the truth, put the truth in their heart, and instantaneously they reverse the curse. That's not, they said that's how it works. He said, so what reverses the cursed? Repentance. Mm. And he said, if you bless somebody, what are you doing? You're praying that they repent, that they come to their senses. And this is, you can read this in 2 Timothy 2:20 to 26. Actually, go ahead and read that, because I think that would be helpful for us to see what that looks like.
Okay,
Second Timothy 2:20 to 26.
Sure. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Yeah, so that particularly with a believer, so you're a believer who isn't willing to talk through something, has already been taken captive by the enemy to justify why they're not going to do it. And he says, so your pray is that they get released from that, get their own will back, and then repent, and ideally say, you know what, I am sorry for what I did, and I'd like to now talk to you about truth. And that happened to me with that one person, you know, that it was a year later, I'd already released it. And then that person came to me and said, you know, could we process again? Because I'd gone to forgiveness, see, my answer was sure. I've been praying that he'd be released from, you know, the curse that he's experiencing, being taken captive by the enemy to not want to process truth, actually for his own life, and repent. And he did. I see it. I'm sorry. And I know that what I did wasn't right. You know, would you help me? And the answer was, see, sure. Why? Because the blessing was that he repented. And he reversed the curse and said, I'm willing now to step into the blessing.
So let's talk a little bit about the difference between, because there's a heart posture difference, I believe, in the two things. Earlier you said, you know, don't go in and pray, change his mind, change it, you know, because God's not going to do that. But here we're being told, do pray for repentance,
pray
which
that
is a
they,
change of mind and heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And so see, it's not
so
God saying.
So there's a little bit of nuance between the two, right? A difference between the two things. And
because,
lot of the nuance is actually in our heart of how we're praying it as well.
Yeah.
But go ahead and talk to that a little bit.
Well, and that, you know, that I would like for them, for their own benefit, to repent and to process so that they can step from the curse to the blessing. That's my heart. That's God's heart.
Right.
And that's always
so
his
right
heart.
There. Let me highlight that you just said. You said for their own benefit. So that's what I'm talking about in our heart posture as we pray. In one, we're praying, fix that.
Yeah.
Make them better. You know, and that's really looking at how it affects us. What you just said is for their own benefit, pray for their repentance. When you're able to pray for their own benefit, you have truly taken on God's love for them, God's forgiveness for them, God's heart for them. And so the posture of that prayer, praying for them to step into repentance, is reflecting the Father's heart rather than a self-serving prayer.
Right. And that, I mean, think about it. If we're, let's say we're relating to unbelievers and they say, no, I'm not interested. Well, we know they're cursed.
Mm-hmm.
We know their eternal destination, which is grievous to us.
Right.
So what do we pray? Well, we pray that something in their life will stimulate them to reconsider.
Right.
And I would like to pursue maybe what you're trying to show me about Jesus or.
Right. Because that should break our heart because it breaks his heart. We
yeah.
should be grief stricken over them rejecting God.
Yeah. And then remember, God says, I invite people to reconciliation. I don't force them into it. Mm-hmm. So if he could, it's not my will that any should perish. What would he do? If I could, I'll just make everybody a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, it's all by imitation. But what I will do, and this is, by the way, in John chapter 16, he said, the Holy Spirit is consistently active, convicting the world of sin.
Right.
So he said, I'm always circumstantially trying to get people to mm-hmm. wake up and say, yeah, maybe I should consider that, you know, and that's yeah. why even hardened people, and I've had this happen even recently in the last, you know, few years, is people who are been hard-hearted toward God their whole life get the news of I've got cancer and I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, the circumstance changed.
Right.
And then I pray with people is maybe you should go back and invite them that now that they know that they're on their way, you know, to death, would you like to consider that even today you can be reconciled with God? And they do.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, because circumstances had them think about maybe I should reconsider this. See? So the prayer is that circumstances would alter, would change, would impact. So that they say, you know what, I'd like to actually consider this now. And by the way, if they start to walk with God and they've hurt you, what will God say to them? If they now say, you know what, I'm learning what it means to walk with God,
mm-hmm.
what will God and tell them? Hey,
God will correct their hearts. The Holy
I want
Spirit
you,
will speak to them, yeah.
You need to go to Rich and process that hurt you had a year ago, see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we keep praying for is, may they repent, may they repent. And we actually would rejoice. Now, our human nature would be, yeah, we'd actually like to see the vengeance. But God says, no, I want you to have a heart to always let them be blessed. And the blessing comes from repentance, that if they do, they can immediately reverse the curse. And if they repent, they then will come back to you and say, could we now process that? And you would welcome that, knowing that, well, I never got to see all the cursing they experienced. And they seem like they got away with it. No, they didn't.
Mm.
And you are praying the same way that God is, saying, I would like to actually like to bless them. Wouldn't you want to do the same thing? And your heart stays in that mode, which means I can have freedom. And we'll talk about, okay, what does that mean for me in the meantime? When I'm not taking vengeance, I am praying for their repentance, but they're still hurting me or they're still impacting me. What do I do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have to go with this, is I have to resolve this for you. But it's all, and I love what you're saying there. It's all about the heart.
Yes, absolutely.
Is freedom comes from, I'm in the same place God is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not irritated by this. I'm not obsessed by this. And I do have to do a little bit more to have it resolved for me so that it doesn't bother me anymore. And we'll mm-hmm. talk about that. So Heavenly Father, thank you again for the beautiful truth that you lay out. And what you're moving toward resolution is us to join you in the same heart you have, mm-hmm. which means you live in freedom, you live in joy, you live in shalom. And we pray that we can live at that same place. We are affected by what they're doing. And so we have to understand what that looks like without us taking vengeance, without being obsessed, being able to walk with freedom and to understand what that means. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.